Our first scripture today comes from Isaiah, the first chapter, verses 10 through 20. And Isaiah is delivering an unpopular message because he's calling the people to repent. But he also reminds everyone of God's grace and forgiveness. Jerusalem, your rulers and your people are like those of Sodom and Gomorrah. Listen to what the Lord is saying to you. Pay attention to what God is teaching you. He says, "Do you think I want all these sacrifices that you keep offering to me? I have had more than enough of the sheep you burn as sacrifices and of the fat of your fine animals. I'm tired of the blood of bulls and sheep and goats. Who asked you to bring me all this when you come to worship me? Who asked you to do all this tramping around in my temple? It's useless to bring your offerings. I am disgusted with the smell of the incense you burn. I cannot stand your new moon festivals, your Sabbaths, and your religious gatherings. They are all corrupted by your sins. I hate your new moon festivals and holy days. They are a burden I am tired of bearing. When you lift your hands in prayer, I will not look at you. No matter how much you pray, I will not listen, for your hands are covered in blood. Wash yourselves clean. Stop all this evil that I see you doing. Yes, stop doing evil and learn to do right. See that justice is done. Help those who are oppressed. Give orphans their rights and defend widows." The Lord says, "Now, let's settle the matter. You are stained red with sin, but I will wash you clean as snow. Although your stains are deep red, you will be white as wool. If you will only obey me, you will eat the good things that the land produces. But if you defy me, you are doomed to die. I, the Lord, have spoken." And our second scripture comes from Psalm 50, verses 1 through 8, 22 through 23. And here God speaks of the sacrifice that pleases him. "The Almighty God, the Lord, speaks. He calls to the whole earth from east to west. God shines from Zion, the city perfect in its beauty. Our God is coming, but not in silence. A raging fire is in front of him, a furious storm around him. He calls heaven and earth as witnesses to see him judge his people. He says, 'Gather my faithful people to me, those who made a covenant with me by offering a sacrifice.' The heavens proclaim that God is righteous, that he himself is judge. Listen, my people, and I will speak. I will testify against you, Israel. I am God, your God. I do not reprimand you because of your sacrifices and the burnt offerings you always bring me. Listen to this, you that ignore me, or I will destroy you, and there will be no one to save you. Giving thanks is the sacrifice that honors me, and I will surely save all who obey me." Amen.
And from the New Testament, from Luke chapter 12, 32 to 40. "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed ready for service and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Aline always begins with the same beginning, and I've said this many times, same beginning to the message that my dad began with, and I heard so many times over the years. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Well, if we were to invite somebody to get to know Jesus, would those two Old Testament passages be the ones we start with? I don't think so. There's no mincing of words in those two passages. From Isaiah, and I'm only going to share that toward the end. If you will only obey me, you will eat the good things the land produces. But if you defy me, you are doomed to die. I, the Lord, have spoken. And from Psalm, it finishes with kind of the same theme. Listen to this, you that ignore me, or I will destroy you. There will be no one to save you. Giving thanks is the sacrifice that honors me, and I will surely save all who obey me. These two scriptures remind us of the holiness and the awe and the reverence and power of God, and call us to obey and have a mind of awe and reverence. As we read them, we can either see them with a fire and brimstone focus, pretty literally in one of those passages, as in you better or else. There's a lot of you better or else in both of these passages. Or we can see the deeper promises that come from obeying God, as in you will eat the good things the land produces, and I will surely save all who obey me. Being the Pollyanna that I am, I tend to look for those more positive messages in both of these. You will eat the good things the land produces, and I will surely save all who obey me. And as we look at the words in Luke, we see more of the good news revealed at the beginning of today's scripture passage. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Now, I have to admit there are times I take this promise way too lightly. Really? I could live in the kingdom? That's a big deal. What if we were just told we won the lottery? Would we not be pretty excited? Of course. Well, why are we not more excited to hear, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom? This is a much bigger deal. It's a much more important treasure and way bigger than winning the lottery. Yes, Kurt, I'm pleased to give you the kingdom. All you have to do is sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So I can't have all the wonderful riches and possessions of this worldly life and live in the kingdom. I think the scriptures are telling us that living in the kingdom is so much better than what we can attain on our own, that we can't even imagine what it is like to trust in God and accept the amazing life of riches that can be ours when we live in Christ. So to honor Keith, we would say the takeaway thought for you to ponder from today is, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where are your treasures? Where is your heart as a result of what you treasure? As you know, camping and everything at Westminster Spires is dear to my heart. Since I just returned 2 weeks ago from camp, I'll share a few stories, and at the end we'll share a little movie of some of the experiences that we had at camp. I'd like to share some stories that involve riches and treasures of the heart. Westminster Spires is not a camp with a lot of material opulence, as you well know. We do have clean water. We have warm, hot showers, the women would say on occasion. We have dry sleeping quarters. We have good food to eat. Accommodations that for much of the world would be luxurious, and we often forget that. But the real treasures of camp are found in other than the facility. It's easy to experience the riches of God when in the presence, God's presence at camp. God is no more present at Westminster Spires than God is present with us anywhere or at any time in our lives. But I suspect when we go there, we are way more open to feeling God's presence. And that makes it a very thin place between heaven and earth, as George Goodrich often says. The glories of his world are very evident in that place. And I think we're therefore more open and ready to experience God while we're there. So some treasures that were experienced at camp. I would mention that St. Andrew is so supportive of camp from all the work that Sandy and Jim do preparing the camp and all those who come up for revamp. I was there, this was my third year to spend the camp season there. Cynthia was there again this year for the whole camp season. What a blessing. Thank you. Kristen was there as a counselor for the whole camp season. Eben came up to junior high camp. Rachel Kraft was there for senior high camp. Nikita, Dominic, and Catherine were there for elementary camp. We had one of the Johnson grandsons there for camp, 1 week of camp. Hope I didn't miss anybody else. Aline came up for a couple of days to experience some of the camp experience. I preface my observations with full recognition that Westminster Spires is God's camp. And the Holy Spirit does mighty works when we live in his presence in that place. And we're just there trying to help God do God's work in that place. So the beauty of the camp and the areas that we visit are an astounding treasure. While we're there each morning, I get up. One of the first things I do as I go out into the lower meadow is look up at the sun rising on the spires. What a way to start the day. We hike up the Lake Fork to a wide spot in the river to play in the water. We go up Beartooth Pass, and each time I go up there, I don't take it for granted. I say, how many kids in church camp get to come and see this? It is so beautiful. This year, the staff had the idea of getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning so they could go to the top of the pass where they could see the Bear's Tooth and watch the sunrise. So they loaded up the whole group, left Cynthia and I there to take care of things. And they ran up to the top of the pass, and we'll share a couple of pictures from that. But each day and the the counselors kind of got tired of me hearing this each day, I would say, what would you do to make this day any better than this? I dare you to find something to make it better than this. So the beauty of camp is an astounding treasure for us. We saw treasures in creativity as young people participated in the craft program. And again, thanks to Cynthia for her organization of that. We had a crafty bunch. Sorry, all the craft children. But we had a crafty bunch of campers there this year. It seemed like any time we had some free time, they were always welcome to go to the craft cabin and work on projects. And they did. I mean, even the boys, junior high boys, spent time there. But watching the creativity of the young people was amazing. We had a watercolor artist come to give lessons. Even the high school, all the high school students loved that. Did a lot of painting of beautiful pictures, doing t-shirts, gathering sticks and stones for making fish and footprints and all the other projects, friendship bracelets. Watching the creativity of the young people was really quite a treasure. We saw treasures as campers and staff discovered their gifts and developed individual identities. So many of the campers and the staff have been there for a number of years, so you see a lot of change and development in young people. And gifts really have emerged each year. The gifts of music, as the young people put together the whole music program, play piano, guitars, and so forth. Gift of compassion. I saw so many wonderful gifts of compassion, camper to camper. Gifts of organization, creativity, responsibility, and courage. Young people becoming strong and capable in ways that they may not have discovered or seen in themselves before. I've probably shared this story. One of our campers, or one of our counselors in particular, has blossomed in amazing ways. Last summer, her mother came to camp for the evening and watched her daughter leading music and energizers up in the cabin. And I heard the mother say, "Who is that girl? I've never seen her before." Ruth Letson in that setting has really blossomed. So Christ has provided an amazing opportunity for gifts to emerge and individual identities to be discovered. I mentioned we saw treasures in compassion and kindness as campers took care of one another. We have some campers who can be a real challenge at times. But to watch young people take care of one another is such a treasure. We hear about bullying in schools. Cynthia shared a wonderful testimony about how often we see young people who are natural targets to be picked on. And boy, her message really struck a chord with one of the campers who realized, yeah, I've been pretty mean to some people who did not certainly deserve to be mean to. And it really was a message that I think struck an important chord for him. And we saw a lot of compassion and kindness. And I think when young people see those compassion and kindness as treasures rather than duties, it's a treasure to be compassionate and kind to people, not necessarily a duty. And when you begin to see it as a treasure and a gift, I think it's a key to living in the kingdom. We saw treasures in courage as young campers discovered they could get away, get along living away from mom or mom and dad for a few days. He's not here, but I tell you, Dominic is one courageous little boy. We saw treasures in grace as campers continued to grow in Christ. As they continue to change and grow and to develop into ever more loving and responsible young people, as they were held in the safety of God's hands, both physically and emotionally and spiritually, as they forgave and were forgiven for bad decisions of the past, and as they came to grow to have a deeper understanding of God's love for them. We saw treasures in new relationships that were formed based on talking with strangers. Coming to camp when you don't know very many other people forces you to develop your skill of talking with strangers. Relationships developed based on common interests, common experiences, hearing the testimonies of counselors, learning from the Bible lessons each day, sharing in small groups, and participating in our other activities. So it was a real treasure to watch that happen. We saw treasures in adventure, sledding down a snow hill in July at the top of Beartooth Pass, rafting down the Stillwater, hiking on the Lake Fork Trail, swimming in Greeno Lake or at Red Lodge Pool, playing night games, and running full speed through the forest in the dark. Thank you, Jesus, for all the guardian angels that have protected young people through the years. It's astounding. We saw treasures in service. The campers do a lot of the work, washing dishes, cleaning the bathrooms, cleaning their cabins, helping clean up the craft cabin, helping build the campfire, carrying water to put out the campfire, picking up trash and so forth. A lot of treasures in service. We saw treasures in faith development. Each day, George Goodrich or David Andrew presented a morning Bible lesson followed by Holy Ground, small group discussion. Our staff included seven young people who will be in college or are in college this fall, two high school counselors, who are counselors in training, and Cynthia, who took care of, as I've said, crafts, medical issues, medications, and so forth. I was there to provide background assistance. But the testimonies of staff members really connected with the campers on a deep level, and it was a real treasure to watch that happen. I was able to have my own small group time with George and Cynthia, or David and Cynthia, and some rich ideas came out of that. Camp is a time when you get to see young people freelancing prayer publicly. It's an amazing thing to watch. They cannot wait to pray before the meal. All the way to the point, some of you remember Mike Repka, his granddaughter Danny is a counselor with us. And Danny is kind of our master staff sergeant of camp. She keeps things running. But she asks before each meal, who wants to pray? And after the first couple days, Danny will say, who hasn't prayed yet? Don't lie to me. I love that line. Who hasn't prayed yet? Don't lie to me. How often do we say, who wants to share a prayer among us? Kids are all over it. So there's three particular lessons that I'll share that came. Persistent pursuit. There was a camper who was in persistent pursuit of me to play football, play catch with me. Every free moment we had, can we play catch? After worship, can we play catch? And it was a very special time for the two of us. And this led to other time that we had to be together. Helped me build the campfire and carry water from the creek, or crick for some of you. Grady. As this pursuit of my time and attention continued, it really became an important lesson to me. I thought, what if I was as persistent in my pursuit of my relationship with God as this young person was in persistent pursuit of time with me? It's an interesting thing to think about, because as I watched it, I was really struck with that. And I was struck with how our relationship deepened as we spent time together. Much like our relationship with God, deepens as we spend time with God. So persistent pursuit was one of my takeaway lessons from this camp. Second was one morning, Andrew, and I had a small group time, and we really got thinking about the connection of riches and treasures and joy and thankfulness and praise. Y'all remember the first question in the Heidelberg Catechism, don't you? What is the chief and highest end of man? Man's chief and highest end is to glorify God and fully to enjoy him forever. We are called to glorify God and enjoy him forever. I think there is an important connection here between treasures, joy, thankfulness, and praise, or glorifying God. And I think it starts with accepting the treasures of God's world. That is what leads to joy, hopefully. Sometimes we take treasures for granted, but ideally, I believe treasures of God's world leads to a feeling of joy. It can be joy in celebration, joy in healing, joy in safety, joy in comfort, joy in compassion. But treasures lead to joy. Joy, hopefully, leads to thankfulness. Being really thankful for the treasures that we've received. And overflowing thankfulness leads to praise. Praising God is glorifying God. I think it's tough to come into church and begin praising God without spending some time going back through that process. What treasures has God provided? How have I expressed joy and thankfulness for that? And out of that can come a deep sense of praise and glorifying God. When I was young, since I just turned 65 a couple weeks ago, that was some time ago, but in one of the churches that my dad served when I was young, the doxology was sung as a dirge. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Oh, it was deadly. Praise, I'm not feeling it, right? So, praise God from whom all blessings. Sing it like you mean it. And my third lesson for me, takeaway, was I was on the trail with my persistent pursuit friend. And we had taken a trail up to a spot where we could walk off the trail down to the river, and there was a fun spot to play in the river. And he said, I need a break to recharge the batteries in my legs. So we were down there for a while with the group, and we walked back up to the trail. And I said, what direction do you think we should go? And he said, I think we should go to this way. And I said, no, I'm sure we should go this way to get back to where everybody else is, get back to the lake. So as we began walking back, I was behind him, and George was with us too. And he did not recognize anything on the path, and he began to get really nervous. And I said, yes, this is the right path. I'm not sure because nothing looks familiar here. And he got really, really nervous, although I continued to say, yes, this is the right path. And at course, always being one to look for an illustration, I said, how often are we on the right path that we have been led to? We have been assured, yes, that is the right path. And we say, God, are you sure? And it was a great, just as this young camper said, are you sure this is the right path? I saw myself in his shoes very often. God has led us on a path, assures it's the right path, and we say, really? So throughout camp, we saw the Holy Spirit produce many treasures. Treasures in the fruit of the Spirit. Daily we saw the Holy Spirit present in peace. Very little fighting, even among people you all think fight a lot. Nah. A lot of peace. There was much love. There was much joy. There was a lot of patience. In what world is putting a toothpick into the lock to think you can unlock it a good idea? No. So there was much patience on my part. There was much treasures in kindness and goodness, young people taking care of one another in amazing ways, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. So I ran across two sayings that stood out for me as I did background study on this. There's an old Spanish proverb that says, there are no pockets in a shroud. We can't take it with us. But there are many treasures that we will leave behind, certainly, and that we can enjoy. So to honor John Pugh, I will share a story. There was once a rich man who was near death. He was very much aggrieved because he had worked very hard for his money and he wanted to be able to take it with him to heaven. So he began to pray that he might be able to take some of his wealth. An angel heard his plea and appeared to him, "Sorry, but you can't take your wealth with you." The man implored the angel to speak to God to see if he might bend the rules. The angel reappeared and announced that God had decided to make an exception and was allowing him to take one suitcase with him. Overjoyed, the man gathered his largest suitcase, filled it with pure gold bars, and placed it beside his bed. Soon afterward, the man died and showed up at the pearly gates. St. Peter, seeing the suitcase, said, "Hold on, you can't bring that in here." But the man explained to St. Peter that he had permission and asked him to verify his story with the Lord. Sure enough, St. Peter returned saying, "You're right, you're allowed one carry-on bag, but I'm supposed to check its contents before letting it through." St. Peter opened the suitcase to inspect the worldly items that the man found too precious to leave behind and exclaimed, "You brought pavement?" We are blessed with treasures that we often overlook and take for granted. Lord, we look to you for light upon our path and sure direction in your ways. Lord, may we see the treasures you place before us and in doing so keep our heart in you.